This is Age of Treason Radio.
First thing I remember was asking Papa why. For there were many things I didn't know.
On the White Network.
By the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother stone. You better learn your past, you better learn your young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
Good evening, everyone. In this installment, I'm going to talk about a tactic that I call stupid, crazy, evil. And before I get into the details of that, I want to take a step back and I want to talk about how these puzzle pieces fit together, the two previous installments that I did and this one, to provide some context here and a little bit of review, why this is important. I mean, some of you may be wondering why it's important and maybe think I'm getting a little bit too tangled up in details. So I want to describe how these pieces fit together. Why is this important? Well, guilt tripping, let me start first by saying that lots of people talk about white guilt. And the problem I have with that is it makes it sound like it's just this spontaneous thing that comes from nowhere. And I don't like that idea. It doesn't come from nowhere. It's caused by guilt tripping. It's caused by other people imposing on us through propaganda this idea that we should feel guilty about this or that. That's the litany of what I call the litany of white sins. Is the particular list of things that we're supposed to feel guilty about. White babies aren't born feeling guilty. That is something that's taught to them, that's indoctrinated to them. It's ironic that, you know, what we're told amongst the litany of white sins is that, you know, white parents somehow impart this racism to their children, that they teach to their children. And what's really going on is that white kids are being taught by public schools and by the Jewish-owned media to hate themselves. And they're given a long list of things to hate themselves for. This is an assault. It's aggression. And as I say, the guilt isn't just spontaneous. It doesn't just come from itself. And it's a form of psychological aggression against white people. The effect is demoralizing for whites. It's these tactics cause white people to question themselves and their white identity. It's no wonder that white people don't want to talk about being white, don't want to think about being white. They don't want to think about white identity in any form because the only thing that they see involved in white identity is negative, is bad, because they've heard all of these reasons that white people are just horrible people. And to understand just how senseless that is, I mean, just think about Latino identity or Jewish identity or black identity or people of color identity. I mean, those people aren't shaken by the criticism that, oh, well, who's a people of color anyway? Or who's a Latino anyway? I mean, they have those arguments, but it doesn't cause those people to be racked with guilt or self-doubt. They shrug it off, and they figure it out, and they go on, and they lobby with great success for the benefits of their own kind. As I said earlier, that I think that if you wanted to boil down the political zeitgeist to a single rule of thumb, it would have to be that white equals bad and non-white equals good. And this guilt tripping and the litany of white sins and this tactic that I'm going to talk about, the stupid, crazy, evil, is how that happens, how that zeitgeist came to be, because it didn't just come out of nowhere either. So let me get into the details now of what I mean by stupid, crazy, evil, and how it's used and where that comes from. Although I think I may leave the where it comes from to a second part to this, another 30 minutes maybe just talking about the roots of the origins of stupid, crazy, evil. The order that I put those words in is important because it's not critical, but it is a progression of charges made against a person that they're stupid. If you call somebody stupid, you're saying that basically they should be ignored. Their opinion doesn't matter. If you say that somebody's crazy, you're saying beware of that person. They could be dangerous. And if you say that somebody's evil, well, then you're marking them for destruction. You're marking them as a mortal threat. And I should say, too, before I go any further, this is a tactic that's used against white people who have pretty much worked their way past white guilt and the guilt tripping, or were never affected by it to begin with. So, you know, if you're not racked with guilt, if you're a white person and you're not crippled with guilt over the white sins, the litany of white sins, well, then you have to be a stupid, crazy, evil, racist, KKK Nazi. And, you know, these terms are, for all practical purposes, they're synonyms, racist, KKK Nazi, and stupid, crazy, evil. They're all interchangeable terms of abuse that are applied to white people who don't feel guilty about their white identity and have a strong white identity, a strong racial identity and group identity. Lots of money and effort has been invested into indoctrinating people to make these associations. That's why it's important who owns the television stations and who greenlights what projects and cans others, because that determines the message that's going out and who's targeted by it, who's portrayed in a good light and who's portrayed in a negative light. I also want to say right at the beginning here that I'm not saying that there isn't such a thing as stupidness, craziness, or evilness. There really are people who are stupid in the sense that they have a low intelligence, and there really are people who are crazy because they are mentally unstable or have some other psychological problem, and there really are people who are evil. But that last one especially is somewhat subjective. It all depends on what your definition of morality is, what your view on morality is, what your point of view is. And I will probably do a whole nother program just dedicated to morality and the games that people play, the tricks that people play, and based on confusion about morality. But the focus here is not going to be on literal stupid, crazy, or evilness. It's going to be on the disingenuous use of that name calling as a tactic. It's a dishonest tactic that's used in argument or debate. Stupid is pretty common. You see it all the time. In racism is just so ignorant. The word ignorant comes up a lot associated with racism. The idea is that those stupid racists are just ignorant. They don't know that race doesn't matter. And it's kind of a stupid idea itself, but that is the idea. I'd like to emphasize as again that this is really only stupid when whites do it. You know, it's if Asians or Latinos or blacks or people of color, Jews, organize as a group and you know, follow the Jewish playbook, claim victim status, and organize, they're not considered stupid. They're considered doing the right thing. You know, it makes sense what they're doing. They're just looking for a better life for themselves and their children is the usual way that that's described. Whereas it's white people that are stupid, crazy, evil for trying to organize for our own interests. Now, of course, I think that it makes good sense for us to organize for our interests, and that's what most white advocates, pro-white people, think. But our problem is that the bulk of white people have been convinced by this propaganda, this intellectual, psychological assault against them to abandon any sort of group identity, at least as whites. They may have other group identities, but not a racial group identity, you know, not one that would actually work. The identities that whites tend to cling to are identities that divide us instead. Whereas the other peoples have the kind of identities I'm thinking of, like sports team loyalties or loyalties to geographical regions or whatever, but they will much more easily set those aside in favor of their racial identity when push comes to shove. So this stupid, crazy, evil thing is not only used against white people purely in racial politics, racial arguments. It's a common tactic that's used in all sorts of arguments. It's easy to do. It's reflexive, even. It comes to mind. I find it coming to my mind, even though I'm well aware of it being a tactic that enemies use against me, and I hesitate to use it against other people because I realize that it's there's problems with it. It's an old tactic. It's so old it has a Latin name. It's called argumentum ad hominem, which means arguing against the man or the person rather than arguing against the ideas or propositions being argued. And one reason that people might want to do it in a general argument is just to avoid actually dealing with the argument that's at hand, that's being discussed, because they can't come up with a good argument against it, or they don't want to. They think it's a subject that they'd rather avoid. So even when it doesn't have to do with race, that's a good reason that people often will come up with this stupid, crazy, evil accusation against the person they're arguing with. In racial arguments, especially in things having to do with the Jews, this you see it. It's not always explicit. Let me start by saying that stupid, crazy, evil. It isn't literally always somebody saying you're stupid, or you're crazy, or you're evil. A lot of times it's done by implication. It's a very subtle, snide insinuation that you're stupid, crazy, or evil. So it is not always explicit. But when you try to discuss Jews, what you'll often hear is, you see a Jew under every bed, or oh, you just think it's the Jews. And it's a mocking tone. It's a ridiculing tone. The idea being, of course, that you have to either be stupid or crazy to believe such things. Of course, they say it in a mocking, ridiculing tone to start with, but then eventually shift to the evil part once they figure out that you're not joking, or once it's clear that you're not joking. And then, of course, evil is something to be taken very, very seriously. And in a way, they undercut their own initial attitude and reveal it as the bluff that it was. I think that this charge is actually made worse by white people trying to avoid being charged with it. It's sort of a self-feeding thing. You know, in order to avoid being accused of talking about the Jews, white people have in the past and still do try to euphemize and use code words, you know, talk about Zionists instead of Jews, or whatever, talk about liberals or the left or come up with some other code words to talk about it. And I think that only feeds into the whole, you're crazy argument, because it makes it seem like you're seeing shadows rather than seeing something real. So I would advise anyone to do the kind of thing I try to do, which is you name names. You get specific. You don't just say it's the Jews. I mean, there's nothing wrong with generalizing in that sense once you've established a pattern. But in order to establish the pattern, you need to be specific and name specific people that you're talking about, and try to talk about people who actually have power and influence. I mean, it's hard to say that you're imagining things if you're talking about people who really exist in the real world and have real political power or media power. In argument, I'm going to talk about here good faith versus bad faith, because to actually have a meaningful argument based on logic or and reason presumes that there's good faith on both sides of the argument, that both people are trying to solve a problem, trying to negotiate a solution. They don't have to be on the same side. They can disagree about what they're arguing about and even be enemies. But the idea that they're going to sit down and use reason and logic to solve the problem and negotiate a solution depends on them both arguing in good faith rather than lying or trying to trick each other. And you know, one example here, when somebody says that you're just stupid or implies you're stupid, they're demonstrating that they're not arguing in good faith, because if they really thought that you were not quite as smart as them, well, that means they're smarter, right? And they should be able to express their argument in terms, they should be able to dumb down their argument to simpler terms that anyone can understand. And instead of doing that, they just want to, you know, call you stupid and imply that you're not capable of thinking. And that reveals the bad faith in the argument. In their mind, anyway, their side of it. And if they thought you were crazy or evil, then they wouldn't be bothering trying to argue with you. In fact, you know, that's what they're trying to do, is dismiss the argument entirely by just saying you're crazy or evil. You see it also, another sign of bad faith is just this inability to agree to disagree. In the end, if you were trying to negotiate, well, you can't come to a negotiation. You can't come to an agreement. Oh, well. But instead, what you see is this attitude of this existential struggle I mentioned in a previous installment that I noticed in people on the left side of the political spectrum seem to have, and this attitude that they're trying to destroy you. And I see it more now, too, in the right, now that Jews are becoming much more prominent. Or I could say just more visible to me now that I'm aware of them. And you see how nasty they can be, even when they're on the right. And some of these, the nastiest arguments that you'll see are between one Jew on the left and one Jew on the right. Or certainly when there's one or the other on either side. So what is this stupid, crazy, evil really at root? This charge against made by one person against another, and usually against white people. The highfalutin term for it is it's an accusation that you're morally or mentally defective in some way. If you're stupid or you're crazy, you're mentally defective. If you're evil, that's just saying that you're morally defective. You're defective. You know, you're a bad person is the argument. And other highfalutin terms you can use are pathologization. You know, if you're calling somebody stupid or crazy, you're saying that they have a pathology of some sort. They are unhealthy in some way. And if you're calling them evil, well, that's the highfalutin term for that is demonization. You're comparing them to something really, really bad, to the devil himself. You know, that you're demonizing them. This is, I mentioned the last installment, defamation is another way of putting it. Dehumanization, ultimately, is another word that comes into it. Because when you are bashing someone in this way, calling them stupid, crazy, evil, you're really saying that they're less than human. And that's just as much due to the attitude. I should have made the point early on, too, that especially when it comes to they're really being stupid and crazy and people, is that when people are really considered stupid or crazy, the general attitude is to have pity on them. You don't consider them somebody who needs to be destroyed. And that, again, is another indication of bad faith. It's when somebody calls you stupid and crazy and meanwhile is trying to silence you and destroy you, it reveals that it's really just name-calling and an attempt to destroy you. these highfalutin terms, they all kind of blur together, but certainly there is a shade of distinction here between the pathologization and demonization. There's a line, a fairly bright line, between just calling somebody stupid and crazy and calling somebody evil. As I pointed out, stupid and crazy, you can joke about that, and that's usually how their attitude is when they first make those accusations. But at some point, it crosses the line into evil. And once they declare you evil, suddenly they get very sober, and the conversation gets very serious, and their attitude gets very serious. And that's where the destruction, the will to destroy you, really becomes clear. But it's definitely, in all of these cases, you can see that it's an attempt to manipulate one way or another, you individually or the people who are listening to the conversation, to the argument. And it is, in the worst case, to actually literally inflict harm on you, so, or your group. So, and we're talking about white people in particular here. So, and that's, I think, was what's actually happening. We're being harmed by this. One last example about this good faith issue is if in the argument you really thought that what you were arguing for the other side was good, well, you should be able to put it in terms where you can convince the other side that there is some mutual agreement that is good for the two of you, and you wouldn't need to deceive them. You wouldn't need to manipulate them. You wouldn't need to use tricks like name-calling to achieve your ends. You could just have an honest discussion. And this is this name-calling business, this stupid, crazy, evil stuff, is really intellectually dishonest. I mean, there is only – it's kind of a redundant term, because all dishonesty is – or most dishonesty anyway is an intellectual sort. But the – calling it intellectual dishonesty is putting the emphasis on the fact that it's smart people doing this. You know, and when an idiot lies, it's much more obvious and more easily diffused, recognized and diffused than when clever people do it. Clever people are clever enough that their lies are harder to figure out, especially by people who aren't as smart. And there's a certain element of self-deception and self-confidence that comes into it too. I mean, if the person who's doing the lying is just absolutely rock sure of themselves in calling you stupid, crazy, and evil, well, it carries some weight. It carries more weight than if they were to just not believe it themselves. And Kevin MacDonald has written a bit about the Jewish capacity for self-deception, that they are able to convince themselves of things as part of their ethnic networking and ethnic activism. And so that makes it easier for them to convince other people of it as well, even though it is a deception at heart. It's a lie about the nature of reality. The best tactic, the most effective tactic against deception, of course, is to expose it, pull it out into the light, talk about it, explain how it's a distortion or a misrepresentation of reality. But that's exactly why stupid, crazy, evil is pulled out. It's a counter tactic to the counter tactic. It's when somebody starts saying, "Hey, this guy is lying. He's actually the one that's doing the attacking, or he's actually doing this or that. That's bad." And that's exactly when you see Jews under each bed, every bed, and you're stupid, crazy, evil. That's exactly when that argument comes out. Another tactic that's often used against people who are trying to expose lies, expose deception, is to just restrict their speech. You know, if you, in our case, they try to define what we have to say as hate and illegalize hate. And that's a whole other program there to just talk about the effort to do that and how that works. So what are the implications of this, the use of this tactic, that the fact that it exists and it's used against white people? Well, let me talk about the effects of it first. There's an internal effect, and on the person themselves that's being attacked. it damages how you feel about yourself, or at least that's the attempt to do. And it doesn't always damage everybody, but it can hurt your self-image. It hurts your self-esteem. It chips away at your self-confidence. You have to really be very strong-willed to overcome somebody accusing you of being stupid, crazy, or evil. And it has an outside influence, an external influence too, which I think is probably more important. And that is, it affects how other people feel about you. And whether they're there listening at the moment or not, where they read the comments later, or just get this general sense that you're a bad person because that's what people are saying about you. This is reputation-based. It's how guilt by association works. When somebody is accused of some transgression and other people who might be their friends or come to their defense are also tarred then with the same brush for doing that, for associating with that person in any way. There's a bit of a Pavlovian reaction there too that comes from the outsiders, almost a mob mentality too that comes as a side effect or as a consequence of the indoctrination, the propaganda, the anti-white browbeating and litany of white sins, the guilt tripping, and that kicks in too. And I've noticed this as a powerful effect in some of my family and friends. When it became clear to them how I thought, how I saw the world, the bulk of them. Might have been disturbed a bit at first, but as soon as I started explaining, well, this is why I think this, and started listing reasons and explaining to them what I had come to understand, they sort of said, well, I see your point. I understand. And they didn't run away screaming from me and didn't refuse to talk to me anymore. But I have had one or two very close people who otherwise I thought I had a very good relationship with and who trusted me implicitly, suddenly turn, and suddenly they don't trust me on this issue. They don't trust me, and they not only do they not trust me, but they don't even want to discuss it. So, and I think that's an insecurity on their own part. They're afraid to actually be educated or to have their mind changed. They don't want to. They're afraid to be stupid, crazy, or evil, and that's what they'll point at me and call me stupid, crazy, evil, and that makes them feel better. So this is as I say, it's a psychological aggression against us as a group. It has to do with us and them, and that's another topic to talk about. I'll talk about that more in the second half of this, because that's where it's coming from. It's coming from them, and they are doing it to us. We play a role in that, of course, as their targets. Some white people go along with it willingly. Some join in with it. But it definitely involves another group of people here. It's not all white people. So I'll talk about that more the next time, and I hope you can join me then. It'll be about more detail about pathologization and demonization and where that's coming from in detail. See you next time.